Let's talk with Alderman Brian Hopkins. Lots going on in his ward. He's in the second ward, which covers part of the downtown area, north side as well. Alderman Hopkins, how are you doing today?
I'm good, Anna. How are you?
Good. I know you saw it. A lot of us saw it. We've been talking about it on our shows throughout the day here at WGN Radio. The downtown shootings up 220%. That's a big number. It is the biggest spike in any city neighborhood. And I know you're hearing about it from the people who live in your ward. What are you hearing? What can you say?
Yeah, I should give a hat tip to the Sun-Times for that outstanding story, which really did a lot of analysis and looked at numbers in a way that a lot of us haven't. That figure that you just cited, Anna, was a per capita figure for shootings. I haven't seen anyone analyze it that way. You could actually say crime is up or crime is down at just about any given moment and back it up with data. The data is that easy to manipulate. No matter how you slice it, you know, you can make the point that you want to make. Mm-hmm. And for the Sun-Times to lay that out there really got a lot of attention. And, you know, it's helping shine a spotlight on what I've been saying for, you know, 2 years now, that the numbers don't tell the entire story. What tells the story is the way people feel about the place they live, or in the case of downtown, maybe it's where they work. People are increasingly having this feeling of their safety being compromised. And now we have the numbers to explain why they feel that way. This is real. It's actually happening. There's a trend right now for increasing amounts of violent crime being reported in areas that traditionally didn't see it at this level. Something has to change. And right now, the city does not seem to have an answer.
Why do you think it is that there is more downtown and more of the types of crimes you didn't see before?
Well, the obvious answer is because you can do it. There's few consequences. We've made it clear that, you know, the court system is not incarcerating offenders on a pretrial basis anymore. You get arrested and you're back out on the street within 12 hours. And then when there is a conviction, you know, sentences are light. So there's an increasing sense of, hey, you could do this, you know. And I'll give you an example just outside of downtown, but in another part of my ward this morning, we had a single offender went on basically an hour crime spree between 7 a.m. and 8 a.m. This one person robbed 9 people in the same neighborhood at gunpoint. Hmm. And then when he was done, he got in the stolen car that he stole yesterday and drove back to the neighborhood that he stole the car in. He was spotted towards the end of this crime spree. And because of our anti-pursuit policies, he was able to easily escape. So, you know, for someone to do something like that at 7 o'clock in the morning, there just is no fear. There's no fear of consequences. And of course, that's going to drive an increase in criminal activity because there's a perception that it's so easy to get away with.
Yeah, you know that you've seen the last couple of days. You've seen what all of us have seen. Superintendent Brown, I believe it was yesterday, he said he's agreeing with you, I think. There are too many violent offenders, too little consequences in our courts, he said. How many people think it's okay to have over 90 people on electronic monitoring charged with murder released back into our community? You might have also seen Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox respond to that. She says that the police are not doing their job. Stop pointing finger in our direction. You're not getting enough of these suspects. You're not finding them and building enough cases. What do you make of that?
Well, I think there's truth to both, although I would argue that the police are at least trying. They're doing the best they can under increasingly difficult circumstances. I just gave you a perfect example of that. It isn't that they didn't try to catch this offender this morning who robbed 9 people in 1 hour at gunpoint. They couldn't chase him. They're not allowed to. So they kind of had to let him go. But that doesn't mean they're not still trying to apprehend him. They got the vehicle that he was using. They're doing a forensic analysis for evidence there, possibly fingerprints, et cetera. So they're trying to catch offenders. I don't think in many cases the state's attorney's office is trying to prosecute. And you know, I can argue with State's Attorney Fox about this. I'm sure when she hears my remarks today, she'll have a counter argument to that. But It's clear by any benchmark that you want to measure, this administration compared to her predecessor, Anita Alvarez, It's a totally different philosophy in the office. They are just simply not prosecuting as aggressively, and that's a choice. That's a policy choice that they've made, and it's resulted in offenders, either walking the street on electronic monitoring or, free to commit repeat felonies. Just for example, when Kim Fox took office, Cook County Jail had a population of about 10,000. That's been cut in half. It's down to about 5,000. So the jail is half empty today compared to what it was. And again, this is pre-trial, so, innocent until proven guilty. We should point that out. But that is clearly the result of policy decisions that are being made. The jail is down from 10,000 to 5,000, and crime is up at the same time. So there's no way to hide from that. That is a very stark statistic that highlights the direct connection between policies that reduce penalties on offenders and the increase in crime that we're seeing happening right now in front of our very eyes.
I want to get your take on something. We have to pause for a second here. You heard about the police sergeant who was loading groceries into her car with her husband when she was carjacked. She fired a weapon and she's facing felony charges. Now, Alderman Hopkins, I want to ask you about that. Also, the governor's got a new program, $250 million, in fact, to try to work to prevent shootings and violence. Want to get your thoughts on that as well. Alderman Brian Hopkins of the Second Ward is with us. This story is getting a lot of attention. The police sergeant and her husband loading groceries into their 4Runner when a couple of guys approach them and say, hey, do you need any help with your groceries? Really, what was happening was a carjacking in progress as another young man came around and jumped into the driver's seat. She discharged her weapon at some point here, Alderman Hopkins, and I know that she is now charged with a felony and is subject to an investigation. A lot of people saying, okay, that is probably the right policy, the police policy. You shouldn't have discharged a weapon in that case. But there's another wrinkle to this, and it's what you pointed out earlier, is that so she gets the felony, and we hope that maybe the carjackers might be caught too, but experience has shown it doesn't seem as if that's happening a ton.
Yeah, well, that raises a whole lot of issues and questions. You're right, it is now a policy for the police, whether on duty or off duty. Shooting at a moving vehicle is just banned. You can't do it, especially shooting at a moving vehicle that's moving away from you. So I don't know the specific circumstances of this. The sergeant is certainly entitled to due process, and she's going to have to tell her story, and perhaps she has an explanation. We'll have to wait and see. Mm-hmm. But it's an example of the oftentimes overreaction to incidents where a policy is then imposed. It doesn't work in all circumstances. And I'll give you another example. Earlier this year, we had a shooting spree that started on the south side of Chicago, wound up in Evanston. Seven people were shot, and I believe three of them died. At one point, that offender was spotted by the Chicago police, and he was in a parking area. The police, had the opportunity to shoot at him, even though he was in a vehicle. Had they done so, they could have saved the life of his next victim. He drove then to Evanston, where he was ultimately shot by Evanston police. But they knew it was him. They knew he was in the middle of a murder spree. If it's justified at all, that would be an incident where it was justified. But the police, operating under this policy, couldn't make that decision in those circumstances at that time. They had to let him go. And it clearly, at the end of the day, this is Monday morning quarterbacking, but it cost someone their life. Mm-hmm. So it's just an example of how we react to incidents that we see repeated over and over again in the media involving a police officer doing something that in hindsight they should not have done. And then it gives birth to a policy that going forward certainly doesn't always make sense in all circumstances. So that's really a long way of saying this sergeant, knowingly did violate a policy of the Chicago Police Department, but is certainly entitled to explain the circumstances, before we rush to judgment.
Yeah, I hear you there. And we will see what happens on both ends. Will the carjackers be found? Will she face charges? And will she ultimately, found guilty of a crime? 773, I want to read this to you before I let you go, Alderman Hopkins. Text from one of our listeners. Anna, my daughter and I have tickets for Paradise Square Saturday. We're not going. We are too afraid. Tickets were expensive and we're just going to lose our money. The mayor, the chief of police, state's attorneys, and politicians are failures in our eyes. We're sick of it, destroying our beautiful city. When it starts to impact behavior like that, and we do hear this from our listeners, that they say that, you know, they're working around not going to downtown. They'll just figure out something else to do. That isn't good for anybody. And I know that's something high on your agenda to try to help work out.
Well, it is. And I wish I could say the mayor was on board with that. But the deputy mayor for public safety in that Sun Times article that we started this interview talking about, Anna, basically a quote from him is, "Don't come crying to me about crime in downtown." That is the deputy mayor of the city of Chicago in the middle of a crime spree where, you know, people like your listener are afraid to come downtown to spend their money, which we desperately need, and our restaurants and our hotels, you know, will tell you all those jobs are at stake right now. And the deputy mayor says, "Don't come crying to me about crime downtown." The Lightfoot administration is in a meltdown right now. They are failing the city. They are failing the residents of Chicago, and they are failing the suburban residents who would love the opportunity to come downtown and see a play or be entertained or go to a restaurant. If this continues, you know, we may be in a continued economic downward spiral that won't be directly connected to the pandemic, but instead will be blamed on increasing crime. And this mayor and this administration does not have an answer right now. And it's a concern for all of us.
Mm-hmm. I've heard from aldermen in the past, and they say that, why is all the attention downtown? Why is all the police there? And I think there was a fair argument that at one point they all needed police attention that they weren't getting to answer just the sheer number of calls that were coming in, and the response times were going up. So they said, well, what we need from there? But I think that Sun-Times article we've been citing about shootings up 220%, the biggest spike anywhere in the city, certainly puts that as a priority. If you look at just sheer crime numbers and the amount of crime that you gotta get under control. Alderman Hopkins, we got to leave it there for today, and appreciate you always weighing in here on WGN, letting us know what's going on.
Thanks, Anna. Appreciate it.
Thank you for the time. Alderman Brian Hopkins, Second Ward Alderman, downtown and part of the North Side.